I'm Jeanette, I'm an addict. Man, I have the honor and privilege to introduce your speaker, right? Not only is he my husband, like, he's my favorite predecessor. I lean on him a lot when it comes to traditions, concepts, stuff. And I'm like, where is that in the literature, babe, right? Because it's so, he has it so absorbed, like it's a part of his life, you know? And, you know, when you think of unity, look, we only got to unity from having disunity, right? Like, that's been my experience with my family, right? That's been my experience with Narcotics Anonymous, because y'all are just like family. You know, that we all have different personalities, man, but we can still come together and we can agree to disagree without being disagreeable. You know, look, it's a Just For Today program, man. We take it a day at a time. I love you. I love you, and thank you for leading the way for an addict like me to come through the doors. I love you. Raymond L.
A great guy named Raymond. Let me do what I always do, man. Let me clear the mess, because, you know, I was looking on my fantasy football lineup and all that crap when I was upstairs, you know, and, you know, of course, I got into literature, got to pray a little bit, got to meditate a little bit upstairs after Chris shared. And but then I started picking up the phone and, like I said, looking at my two fantasy football teams, and God damn, this one's hurting, you know. And so I started getting real unspiritual until we hit the elevator to come down here, you know. So let me do my ritual, man, so I can clear the mess, clear all the speaker tapes, all the prayers of God, please let me sound good today. I'm going to get all that shit out of the way, you know. God, grant me knowledge that I may share according to divine precepts. Instill in me a sense of your purpose, and make me a servant of your will, and grant me a bond of selflessness, that this may be truly your work and not mine, in order that no addict anywhere need die from the horrors of addiction. You know, and so I always need to share that no matter what the topic is, right? And, well, first of all, let me thank the committee, man. You know, I've been chopping it up with a lot of the members of the committee this weekend since I got here. And thank y'all, man. Thank y'all for the love, man. Thank y'all for the love, because like so many of the members, not only in the committee, but people from the Houston area are like, dude, where you been? How you doing? Are you all right? Truthfully, butt naked truth. Is that I've been hurting for a while. See, I got clean here in Houston. I got clean in a halfway house here in Houston, Texas. This is where it all began for me. Is there anybody from Hugs Not Drugs in here? Nobody? Thank you, brother. 29 years ago, 10 days and 26 days ago, you guys fucking helped me. Anybody from Alive and Kicking in here? Come on, man. My fucking people. See, when I was in the halfway house in Houston, Texas, they, you know, they took us to all the A's, right? And where I was living at, there was more that A and that A and that A and this fellowship. And we had to, like, travel to go to NA, right? And so, like, we'd go to Alive and Kicking on Fridays, and we'd have a badass meeting, and the light, as soon as we finished the serenity prayer, the DJ would come on and all that shit, like... Man, thank y'all for teaching me how to lion dance, man. Shit, man. Early in recovery, right?
See, not only did y'all carry the message to me, y'all taught me how to have fun. Amen. See, I was in a bar business since I was a kid. For 15 years, I was in the bar business. Either sitting on a stool, spreading the disease of addiction, or working behind the bar. You know, and so it was hard for me at first when I got clean to have fun without the use of drugs, without the use of alcohol, without the use of pretty women with nice tatas. You know, like I'm addicted to anything that makes me feel real, real good. Right? I'm also addicted to anything that makes me feel real, real bad. You know? Can anybody relate to that? You know, because like I'm out in the cocaine, that makes me feel real, real good. You know, top shelf margaritas, that makes me feel real, real good. Hot Betty's on a dancing, that makes me feel real, real good. You know, marijuana and crank and short 5 foot Korean woman, 200 pounds, flathead, no teeth. Fucking make me feel real, real bad. But I used them both equally. I used them all equally. You know? And so, you know, thank you, Herschel, too, man, for that master plan that didn't work out. No, I love Herschel, man. You know, I really got to know him less. You know, so a lot of years, you know. And there's a lot of people here, man. Like I said, when I first got here yesterday, I got to chop it up with some newer members and how excited they were about this being their first convention committee. And then, you know, it's here. You know, then some of the older members, I got to chop it up with them too. You know, and we just talked about service work and, you know, the commitment that it takes, you know, to put on that thick skin. You know, like, are you sharing literature when you give your report? Are you sharing a tradition or a concept to keep the focus on God so that we could do what we need to do this weekend? Because that's what I do. And so when they asked me, how do I do it back home in San Antonio, whether it's in the Esperanza area or Tabernacle that I served at, or when I was on the advisory board for the Texas State Convention, that's what we did. We kept the focus on God. Bring God into the building. Right? Keep our focus on the newcomer. You know, you want to talk about keeping hope alive in 2025. How about let's extend that? Because 25 is almost gone. Let's keep hope alive past 25. Till we all die with our medallions, our eternity medallions. You know, and when I shared about how I was hurting, it's because I got tired of coming to Houston for funerals. For the better part of 18 months, only time I was coming back to Houston because somebody passed away on us. Like, when we got out of COVID and all that shit. Like, my first sponsor that I never called, Kenny Curtis, when he passed away. Like, he was my first sponsor when I was in a halfway house in Houston. And we've developed this relationship throughout the years. And when he died, it hurt. Good, bad, or different. Because he would always teach him about not picking up the soap. Don't pick up the soap. Okay? In the name of unity, sometimes we have to step aside, brother. And sometimes he would call me the bitch and complain, and I would say, don't pick up the soap. You know, and I would throw back what he taught me, and I would throw back to him. Oh, when Michael Reels died. That hurt. When Geraldine B. died. That really hurt. She was my sister, man. She was my sister. I mean, now I'm talking like over a 20-year relationship of having a therapeutic fucking relationship with a woman. And we would laugh and we would cry. What I would do today to introduce a newcomer to her. And said, ooh, we're going to love you. We're going to love you this weekend. Because that's what you would do. Because whether I was at Tabernacle or Hackney or Texas State or whatever, I was in this area, the state of Texas. You know, I always try to bring a newcomer with us or a sponsee of mine or a wife sponsee. And we would introduce them to Geraldine, and she would just love them and hug them and, you know, buy them shit from the auction and put some any jewelry on them, you know? I mean, just a living example of the program, man. A living example of the program. And so I got to learn about unconditional love, about hope and unity, you know? And another part of the reason I'm gonna share with you is like the last year and a half, I've had to transition sponsor 3 times. You know, the first one, my sponsor decided that he had picked up too many sponsees and decided, hey, Raymond, you know, I know you got strong recovery, but do you mind, I want you to stay in my family, but, you know, it was like, I have a few newcomer sponsees that need my attention. I said, all right, man, no problem. So then I transitioned to another sponsor that I truly love, that I've had a long-term relationship with, and he don't want to pick up the phone. We talk, we chop it up for an hour and a half, and we get some good meat, good solid recovery, and then I do my step work, and he wouldn't answer the phone, man. And it was driving me fucking nuts. I know it was driving my wife nuts, because even though I did the work and I had the step work ready there, if you're not working steps, you're living on borrowed time. And I felt like I was living on borrowed time. Like, I'm ready, man. Like, I got 29 years clean. I want to still be sponsored. My wife deserves that. My home group deserves that. How can you be a leader in your home group and you can't go over your step work with your sponsor? How can you be a leader in your area? And so, finally called me back. And he goes, I know it's been my fault. I know we need to reconnect. I'll call you Friday. And so I'm calling all my sponsee brothers. I got sponsee brothers all up and down the East Coast, you know, Florida, New Jersey, Philadelphia. All up and down the East Coast, I got sponsee brothers, and we're on this Marco Polo thing where we would check in every morning, and then sponsors stopped checking in. But I'm building these relationships with my sponsee brothers, and I'm telling them, man, what the fuck, dude? He called you, but he won't call me? Y'all went on a road trip, but he didn't tell me? What's going on with that, man? And then I'd already made my decision to move on. But he tells me he's going to call me. This is like a Tuesday or Wednesday. I'll call you Friday, and, you know, we'll go over that step work. Whatever you want to do, you know, we'll do it. And so, of course, all my sponsee brothers, all right, brother, okay, it's going to be good, man. Don't leave the family, brother. We need you here, you know. And then he didn't call. He didn't call. And so I had to move on. And it hurt, man. It hurt. Because, again, like, I'm willing to continue to work the steps. I know what saved my fucking ass. I know the step working process saved this guy. I know the step working process saved my family, because the curse ended with me. Like, I was the last man in my family to go to prison, because it ended with me. You know, I understand that today, why I'm here today. I understand that I'm on a mission for God, that God picked me to carry this message, right? I'm not no LeBron James. I'm not that chosen one, but I am chosen, right? We are all chosen if you're in here. If you're in here, we are chosen, right? Whether you got one day, 10 years, 20 years, 29 years, 30 years, and I'm so glad that this weekend I've been able to see some predecessors fucking still being in service. See, I want to kick back and go back into Cadillac mode and get away from service work and retire from service work. And then I see Carolyn F. right there doing registration. A lady that I served with for over 10 years on the advisory board. I see Carl out there being a service. Late, like serving pizza at midnight last night in a hospitality room. But me, my little cherry ass for 29 years, wants to back off all service, but yet I see it all over the place. You know, and I want to wallow in self-pity, right? I want to wallow in self-pity because I lost a lot of my predecessors during COVID and all that stuff. You know, members that didn't like the Zoom platform started to go back out of North Texas. Like, I was getting all these phone calls from Fort Worth and Dallas, and they were asking me, Raymond, are you all right? I said, yeah, man, what's going on? Yeah, man, how you doing? And then I asked my friend Tracy up there, I said, what's going on up there? So-and-so went out with 38 years clean. So-and-so went out with 34 years clean. So-and-so got caught in a hotel room with some prostitutes and an OD. All these men, again, my predecessors, started to go out after 30 fucking years. And so my people in Fort Worth and Dallas are calling me to make sure that I ain't gonna go fucking out. You talk about some hope, some unity, man. I'm talking, man, I am blessed. Like, I am so blessed that I have the people in my life that I have in my life today. You know? Like, this isn't what I love to do, being behind a podium. I'd much rather be out there selling merch. I'd much rather be hustling registrations like I'm gonna do tomorrow. Just throw that plug in right now. Esperanza Area Convention. Come on, man. But you know why I'm doing it? Because I'm leading by example. Leading by example. See, I can go to my Esperanza Area Convention committee meeting and tell these new cats how to do it. And they may listen and they may not. When I tell them, you might have to travel a little bit to boost up the numbers, you know, so that we could fill the room block, so that we can get more registrations, so that we can have the money to not be so stressful the weekend of the convention. How about let's pay the bills before we walk in? I could tell them how I've done it in the past, but are you willing to do what I did? And if not willing, guess what? And my wife gets mad sometimes. You don't have to pick up the, you know, you don't have to pick up the slack. No, right now I do. Right now I do because for the last 2 years we spent way too much money in the hotels. Like, I heard a lot of shit last year when the convention only gave $157 to the area after the bills were paid. But it was because there was two contracts back to back that were fucked up. They paid way, like, we're not Sony, we're not Toyota. We're the Esperanza Area Narcotics Anonymous. Like, cut us a break, man. Like, we're doing God's work up in here. Like, we're not trying to sell you no shit. We're not trying to sell you life insurance, you know. We're trying to save your kid's life. We're trying to save your wife's life. That's what we're trying to do up in here, you know. So, real quick, man, because I know Herschel gave me, like, three topics. I didn't know what to study for other than hope and unity, right? So I'm going to keep it on unity, and I'm going to try to continue to deliver a hope shot, right? So I'm going to go to the first tradition, right? See, I'm going to read something that's so damn powerful that it's in the first tradition twice. Twice. Unity is a spirit that joins thousands of members from around the world in a spiritual fellowship that has the power to change lives. It's such a cold piece that it's on 125 at the beginning of the tradition, and then they say it again toward the end of the tradition. On page 133, in the last paragraph. That's how powerful that message is. That we have the ability to change lives, man. That we have the ability to get people busy living, man. Like, let's get busy living again. You know, the other reason why I've been hurting is because of all this stupid shit outside the fellowship. That's causing members to hate each other. Like, what the hell is all that about? Don't be bashing each other on social media, man. What the hell's wrong with you guys? It's still about unconditional love in here. I post some spiritual shit and people want to start talking shit. Brother, what step are you on? West Texas ass. I'm serious, man. Now delete them. Hey, man, don't come at me like that, man. I'm sharing out of the literature. I'm sharing some unconditional love. Like, you guys are the only ones that can help me with my dilemma. So I ain't trying to go to a psychiatrist for this shit that I got. I ain't trying to take that magic pill. Because I'll get addicted to the magic pill. You guys are the only people that can help me, man. So why would I want to argue with you over some petty ass shit that has nothing to do with Narcotics Anonymous, has nothing to do with the newcomer? Nothing. Twice in the last couple weeks, I've heard an old timer, I was sharing this outside yesterday, I've heard an old timer badger somebody with like 18 months because they said something that was an outside issue. I'm gonna fuck some people up. They'll say, that's an outside issue. But what's more important, Mr. 32 years old clean? If a guy with 18 months shares something that's hurting him, is it more important to let him share that shit? We'll call it a burning desire, for God's sake. Is it more important for him to stay here with 18 months than to badger him and chase his ass out the damn door? So it hurts. It hurts because I looked up some people. I look at the people that have less clean time with me because they're doing this damn thing and they lose that. You ever seen somebody come in here with that look of death? Then they're out, next year they're out there, you know, selling merch or being in registration, or they're wearing a Serenity Keeper jacket, you know? They lose that look of death. We love them back to life. You know, I was sharing in California a couple weeks back that, like, sometimes I want to just reboot the whole fucking Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. I want to reboot. Let's go back to loving each other again. Huh? Unconditionally. Regardless of. Regardless of age, race, sexual identity, creed, religion, or lack of religion. Fuck what's going outside the damn rooms. Let's carry the message. Because if we don't and we let outside issues mess with us in here, guess what? The individual dies. And just like the pandemic, they die in bunches. I don't know about y'all, man. I got 33 days and I wake. Wait. Yeah. 33 days and I wake up and I hit XXX. 30 years. God willing, and the creek don't rise. As long as he twinkles my toes every morning for the next 33 days, man, I'm gonna be able to celebrate 30 years clean. One fellowship, one set of steps, one set of traditions, one set of concepts, man. One woman in my life. How about that? How about that? Huh? So I want to share something. I was sharing about, you know, possibly chasing some people off because of their belief system. All right? So, you know, tradition 10 talks about how we have no opinion on outside issues. Well, keep reading, motherfuckers. Keep reading. Check it out. Does the 10th tradition tell us that as individual recovering addicts, we must not talk in NA meetings about the challenges we face? No, it does not. While a particular problem may be an outside issue, its effect on our recovery is not. Everything affecting a recovering addict's life is material for sharing. If a problem we are having impacts our ability to stay clean and grow spiritually, it's not an outside issue. Not one of us has a monopoly on the traditions. Right? Because if that was true, we wouldn't sign those papers. When the newcomer comes in, are we supposed to say, no, that's a violation of the tradition. You know, we're not cops. We're not probation officers. We're not parole officers. Or is it more important for them to keep coming back? So we can ban some traditions when it's convenient for us. But we want to bash each other on social media. I love this fucking fellowship. God knows I love this fellowship. God knows I love my people in Esperanza, Cabana, Houston area. Satana. I was talking to the people in Satana. They're going to have their area convention in April. They asked GQ, can you help us the way you did when we had tuberculosis in Beaumont? I said, I won't commit to anything, but my phone is always on for you guys, man. Yeah. My phone is always on, man. You know? And so why does that affect me? Why does the people affect my recovery? Again, I see like a lot of hate stuff. And if that's your belief system, that is, you know, that's your belief system. Like, I grew up in a diehard Catholic family, right? My mom's still diehard Catholic. But guess what? I had to go over to her apartment Thursday after work because she knew I was coming here. Son, I need to bless you. I don't want you driving to Houston. And then my aunt's three old ladies just decided they're going to go to Vegas and to California. They're all in their 70s, so they went over. Her little sisters, she blessed them and, you know, sent her on the way. And then, you know, she knew that me and my wife were coming over here. And so I got to go to visit my 84-year-old mom and let her sprinkle me with holy oil and all that stuff so that she can feel better and be at ease this weekend while I'm here in Houston. Right? But so for some people, it's an outside issue. Right? For me, I'm going to share something out of Living Clean. It says, we learn that when we can get our self-obsession out of the way, we can experience love, compassion, empathy, and intimacy. See, that's what we need to get back to. Let's together make a commitment today, right now. Let's make a commitment that this weekend in 2025 and beyond, that we're going to experience love, compassion, empathy, and intimacy. Yeah. For us, for each other. When we practice self-acceptance, we can accept our children as the human beings they are. Perhaps the best gift we can give our children is acceptance of themselves. So why do I share that? Because I have two daughters that are lesbians. One got married to a woman. And they're my daughters. See, I remember growing up with Adam and Eve and all that shit, and not Adam and Steve. But that's not what the book taught me. I just shared it, regardless of. You guys accepted me regardless of. So when I took that into my home, I didn't care who my daughters fell in love with, as long as they were okay. As long as they're okay in their own skin, man. See, I'll be damned if I let my daughter go on a fucking 17-year-old run. I don't want them to be out there hustling and bustling, shooting at cops, selling dope to pregnant women. I'll be damned if I wanted my two daughters to live at the animalistic level that I lived at. I'll be damned if they go to prison and still can't stop using behind the walls like I did. See, throughout this process, the last 29 years, I've had like three or four gay sponsees, man. One of them, on his deathbed, we were doing the fourth step with. On his deathbed, I didn't think he was going to die. I just know that he was hurting. Because he had all those diseases that he contacted before he got into recovery, man. And he was fearful. He goes, sponsor, can you just come over? I want to do my fourth step before I die. Like, brother, you ain't going to die. And so I started reading the four-step questions to him, and he would answer them. And I spent 2 days with him. And we went over his fourth vista. And he died, homie, 3 days later. It was John P., remember that? John Pena. He was crazy, son of a bitch. I pick him up for a meeting, and he'd get in my truck, and he'd look around for the cops. Then he'd pretend like he was going to give me a blowjob. I'm like, would you stop? I'm your sponsor. Oh, I'm so sorry. I thought I got in the truck with my sponger, you know? But see, those are the relationships. See, those are the gifts that we get in here if we're willing to sponsor. If we're willing to sponsor people regardless of. That's the hope, Shad. That's the unity. Because this place is for everybody up in here, man. Everybody. You know, and so like, I even had a gay sponsor for about 10 years. And you talk about learning about relationships. Like, he saved my ass more than a couple times. He took me through some of the most, man, some of y'all know this part of my story. I just celebrated 10 years clean. I just did 9 years of parole. Well, not ever giving a dirty urine, without not ever, ever picking up another case. They gave me that pretty ass certificate that said that your debt to society of the state of Texas is done. It's completed. Okay? So after I get that pretty ass certificate, somebody decides to molest my oldest daughter. By her club volleyball coach, right? I just got off parole. I just picked up my 10-year medallion. And luckily, my sponsor lives half a mile away from me, right? And I don't even know if I called him or my ex-wife called him or my kids called him. I don't know how. But he came over there and I started lashing out at him. And I was like, recovering addict Raymond was out the window and gangster Raymond just showed up out of fucking nowhere. Like, I wanted to kill a son of a bitch. My daughter's, it's her 16th birthday, and she's crying in the kitchen floor, telling me about what's going on. And my sponsor's saying, Raymond, we need to call the cops. Raymond's like, fuck you, sponsor. What's wrong with you, punk? We ain't calling goddamn cops, man. I want to go kill this son of a bitch. Everything inside of me wanted me to go commit murder with 10 years clean. And he said, hold on, homeboy. Let's pray. I don't fucking pray. He goes, I'll be right back. I'm going to get our literature, and then we're going to pray. Fuck you, get out of here. And when he took off, about 10 minutes later, the doorbell rings again. And there's my sponsor. It's 5:30 in the morning. There's my sponsor in his bathrobe and the fucking cops. The cops are at my door because my sponsor went and got him. And brought him into my house. So choose your sponsor wisely. Because they would do for you through God what you can't possibly do when you're locked and loaded and want to do something you really don't want to do. When you're locked, when you're caught up in the grip and that motherfucker's choking the hell out of you, choking the hell out of you, and your sponsor walks up with the cops just to get the fucking thumb off, man. Just to get some damn relief off of you. Just so that you can get to 11. Okay. It's time to wrap it up. Where's Herschel, man? Where's my clock at? All right. I don't want to take my wife's time. But I'm going to share this, man. I'm going to share this real quick. I'm going to read this. I want you to know what I'm about, what we should all be about. We all should be about the newcomer, right? You want to promote some hope and unity? How about let's love the newcomer, right? All right, man. It says, the best experience of my life has been to see how the eyes of an addict who begins to recover don't have that look of death anymore. Seeing that awakening is worth more than anything else. Forever and ever, thanks for opening the door of life to me. So if you got here before November 1st, 1995, Hugs Not Drugs, alive and kicking, thank you for opening up the door of life to me, man. And you got here after November 1st, 1995, thank you for opening up the door of life to me and others. Thank you. Great Friday night. I forgot, I gotta introduce my wife now. No wonder she was telling me, hey, let's go. Hey, man, so again, let me clear the mess. Hey, it's an honor and privilege. I tell my wife this all the time, man. I tell her that that she's my favorite NA speaker, man. Yeah. You know, I'm able to travel like all New York, Florida, California, wherever, Chicago, Lake Erie. I've been everywhere. And my wife is my favorite fucking NA speaker because she's not a speaker. She's a truth teller. Like, she's going to share her truth. She's going to share your truth. She's going to touch your spirit in ways it's never been touched before. She's going to make you do that one extra thing. Right? She's going to share something that's going to make you be on the phone one extra minute. Help that newcomer get one extra day. That's how powerful my wife delivers the message on Narcotics Anonymous, man. And she lights me up. So if you hear the fire trucks outside, it's because she's on fire, man. Come on, baby. Let's go.
Whoo, man. Herschel, I didn't have a topic because Raymond kept it a secret. I'm Jeanette. I'm an addict. I'm really grateful, man. Really honored to be here. Thank you, honey. Thank you, Hackna. Thank you, Herschel. Thank you to all the addicts who stayed sitting, right? Man, I can tell you that 2025 has been something for us, man. Like, right before 2025, we got a call, 6 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. And My daughter was asking for help. And so needless to say, my home that was a family of two, because we had done kicked out the kids, right? We were done with that. Turned into a family of seven overnight. And so, and there was like a real power struggle with me, right? Because all the things that I had worked for, I say that I had worked for, but really that God had given me, right? There was this, I felt this loss of control because I got all these little rugrats running around my house, right? And like my $4,000 sofa got hot pink nail polish on it, right? And my $3,000 coffee table got fucking hot pink nail polish on it, right? And there's all this artwork on the walls of the rooms, right? With nail polish. And I just remember feeling angry, like my daughter didn't have enough respect for us to keep that shit under control. But the real truth is that I was feeling the loss of control when I was trying to exert control so that I could change the way I felt, right? Because, you know, at the end of the day, my husband had to tell me, like, they're safe. And when he said that, the sofa is replaceable. The coffee is replaceable. The walls can be painted. Their lives cannot be replaced. So reality hit, right? And my daughter and I have been getting along ever since, right? Because the sofa is just not that fucking important to me anymore, you know? I'm a literature girl. I've been here 17 years. I don't want to give myself more credit, you know, because I'm in the process, man. I haven't arrived by no means. It talks about, you know, look, if you're new, welcome, right? Like, I didn't know Narcotics Anonymous had so much more to offer me than just getting CPS off my fucking back, right? Like, through the process of Narcotics Anonymous, like, I've learned, I don't know if I really ever had a drug problem. I know that I was always looking for the absence of pain. And I thought I found it in drugs, right? Like, I numbed whatever I was feeling just so that I wouldn't feel, right? But it talks about it, right? Like, and who is an addict? You know, it says some of us believe that our disease was present long before the first time we used, and it doesn't even say drugs. So that, you know, this, I mean, and look, it says some of us, not all of us, but I'm part of the some of us. I understand now. I was trying to use your love, attention, affection, validation. I was using all of those things first before I even went to drugs. I remember I wanted to use your mama because your mama was nicer than my mama. I was using way before I took drugs. You know, and look, man, and it only came from the pain of being clean and being like coming face to face with myself. Right? Like, getting a sponsor and working steps with that sponsor is crucial because it's hard to spot self-deception by yourself. The literature talks about we hated ourselves. It talks about, and this is in the self-acceptance IP, it talks about our love came with conditions, right? Because as long as you're saying all the right things and doing all the right things, I'm loving you good. But the moment you offend me, betray me, lie to me, make me feel some kind of way, right? Then my love comes with conditions. Here come the conditions, right? Because ultimately, I'm still trying to use you, something on the outside, to change the way I feel on the inside. Drugs ain't been my problem for a long time. But the literature talks about drugs is just a symptom of our disease. It also talks about old feelings and fears are also symptoms of our disease. Right? So a lot of the self-centered fear that I have in me would be projected on you. And this dictated a lot of my behavior. This untrue, unhealthy belief system that became a stronghold over me and dictated my fucking moves. Because I'm trying to produce outcomes that I desire so I can feel good about myself. And I remember being in a lot of pain, right, in this debilitating state, this fetal position, right, and this addict said it best, man. Like, little did I know, when I was in a fetal position, God was teaching me how to hold myself. Yeah. Just because it feels like the end of the world doesn't mean that it is. But I remember there was times when the sun wasn't fucking shining in my life. I couldn't even fucking work. I couldn't concentrate because the dis-ease inside of me, the feelings of fear, inadequacy, jealousy, insecurity, these things dominated my life. I was so insecure, man. You move, I move, we move. Where are we going? What are we doing? Who are you talking to? Who's she? Where you know her from, right? Fucking start an interrogation and shit. I'm gonna get to the bottom of this shit. I'm gonna find out who she is. And listen, man, I remember crying out to God, man. For those of you who struggle with God, man, our literature talks about there's but one ultimate authority. Get it right, man. There's but one ultimate authority, a loving God. That's what it says. I'm not confused about that. Narcotics Anonymous may be a power greater than myself, but it's not my higher power. Step one, man, so being in a lot of pain, right, reaching out to God, like not understanding why I still had this pain being 4.5 years clean, right? I didn't understand. Why does it still feel like I'm dying on the inside? Why can't I get these thoughts under control, man? Because when I would think these thoughts would produce these feelings, right? And I would want to react. I would want to change that all the fucking time. And I try to control my mouth, like, don't say shit, Jeanette. Don't open your fucking mouth, right? Check yourself before you wreck yourself, right? That shit didn't work. It didn't work. But it's because I didn't understand, right? I thought, you know, a lot of us came in here thinking we had a drug problem, right? But I had a fucking living problem. You know? I didn't understand. And so finally, man, it was revealed to me in step one. It says it doesn't matter what or how much we use, and it doesn't say drugs. I'm telling you, who are you using? What are you using? How are you using? And when are you using it? It says in Narcotics Anonymous, staying clean has to come first. And it doesn't say staying clean from the drugs. So Jeanette started to get this understanding. I had to stay clean in my spirit. I had to stay clean with my thoughts. I had to stay clean with my behaviors. I had to stay clean with my actions. Because it doesn't say drugs. And so when I clean this up, the thinking, it's in step one, y'all. All of this is in step one. It says, let me find it real quick. It's on page 22. It says, we have found that we had no choice except to completely change our old ways of thinking or go back to using, and it doesn't say drugs. So I'm going to go back to using you. I'm going to go back to using him. it. I had to change, completely change my old ways of thinking. Because how I think, it filters through me. And it dictates how I respond or react or behave. It says in step one, we realized that we could not use drugs and live. Okay, I got that part, right? I got that part. I'm clean from the drugs now. Good. God's got something to work with. What about the rest of it, Jeanette? What else can't you use and live? I can't use manipulation and live. I can't use jealousy and live. I can't use sexual immorality and live. I can't use fear and live. Because these are the things that use me against me, and they use me against you, and then the disease has a two for one. So it talks about on page 22, step one, y'all. It says, when we could no longer stand our old ways, we began to change. So it talked about your thinking first, and then it talked about your old ways. So the two are tied together. So there had to be a renewing for me up here, right? Because the way I thought is how I behaved. Like this untrue, unhealthy belief systems, the things that I told myself that I made true that God never said. So I want to talk about God, I believe in God, but really it's my belief system that I believe in. You know, I didn't have my literature right. Like, I left my literature at home. Look, I didn't even bring a toothbrush, right? Like, I'm texting one of my sponsors. I'm like, I'm all fucked up, right? I ain't got my shit. And she's like, it's in you. It's in you, right? Like, man, thank God, like, me believing in myself just a little bit, right? To give myself a shot, right? Like, I believed in the dope dealer. You know? I believed in the dope to change the way I felt. I believed in that man to change the way I felt. Right? And it was like believing in me was something that I hadn't done before. You know, look, for those of you that are new and think you just have a fucking drug problem, welcome to Narcotics Anonymous. Like, if you think you just have a drug problem, welcome to Narcotics Anonymous, right? Like, they told me it was gonna get real, and then it was gonna get different, and then it was gonna get real fucking different. And it has. And it has, right? Look, Narcotics Anonymous, a sponsor, man, a sponsor, the sponsor that I have, has reached some of the areas, like, to the depths of my soul. I'm talking about we went back to when the lights went out in my fucking world. When the lights went out, y'all. And with the help of a sponsor and the step working process, the lights start coming on, right? And my life has light in it again, right? As a matter of fact, I don't know when my life has ever had light, but it has light now. And so, again, look, step four, it works how and why. It says, because our disease involves much more than our drug use. Recovery involves more than simple abstinence from drugs. Some people say I curse too much, and Kirk R., if y'all know him, he'll say, motherfucker, you don't curse enough. You know, look, it tells us where the solution is at, that it's in the steps. It talks about the solution being spiritual in nature. And if it tells me that the solution is in the steps, it tells me that this is telling me that the steps are spiritual in nature. Right? And so it gives you the solution here as well. It says the solution to our problem is a profound change in our thinking and our behavior. We need to change how we perceive the world and alter our role in it. We need to change our attitude. Yeah. Right? But look, we need to change how we perceive the world and alter our role in it. It's not talking about the whole fucking world. It's talking about your world and your role. It's talking about that's what needs to change, right? But what we really needed, what the literature says, was a personality change. I'm okay with my personality. It's not my problem if you're not. My husband knows because I've told off a few newcomers in my time, right? Because at the end of the day, you're still a fucking grown woman to me. And you're not going to use the umbrella of Narcotics Anonymous to keep your fucking ass protected from doing the bad behaviors here. Somebody's going to let you know. And if they don't let you know, then they're lying to you. They're covering up, not covering over. And for me, love doesn't cover up. It covers over. So I'm going to tell you the fucking truth, whether you like it or not. I may not deliver it well. But I'm still going to fucking tell you the truth. But you know what? I think we go around here, we're too scared, too afraid to hurt people's fucking feelings. No, please hurt my fucking feelings. Please tell me the fucking truth. Please cut me to fucking heal me. Please. Because I don't see me coming. I hear people sharing about, oh, I earned my seat. How? How did you earn your fucking seat? I want to know. Because I don't look at it that way. I'm not judging nobody. I'm just saying. I want to know how you earned it. What did you do to earn it? Because I didn't earn shit. I was graced in here. God's grace and mercy got me here. Your prayers got me here. I didn't do shit to earn it, but I'll do the work to keep it. The literature talks about we don't have to understand this program for it to work. All we have to do is follow direction. And if you knew how to get to the dope man's house, you know how to follow direction. You to put that Brillo in that pipe, but you gotta burn it first. Never forgot it either. Man, so look, I'm gonna try to be mindful. Thank you. Oh man. You know, there's a part in our literature that talks about there's something in our self-destructive personality that still cries out for failure, right? And I still get these feelings of inadequacy, right? And this ain't got nothing to do with me, but everything to do with God, right? Like somewhere in there, there's a part of me that wants to take credit, you know? And that's the part that feels inadequate when it's all God. Again, I did nothing to get me here, right? What I knew about living almost killed me and should have killed me, you know? You know, the step working guides, man, it talks about the disease of addiction. It talks about how can we tell when our disease is active, right? And it gives you the answer. It says when we become trapped
in obsessive, compulsive, self-centered routines, endless loops that lead nowhere but to physical, mental, spiritual, and emotional decay. Right? It talks about the disease of addiction affects every area of your life. It talks about the disease of addiction. It's described as a destructive, violent power. That's how it's described in our literature. I'm not confused about what I'm dealing with, right? And it's like there's some questions in here that ask you, right? Like, do I accept, my disease or whatever? Like, how can you accept something you don't even fucking fully understand? It's trying to find out where the self-deception is at, where you got one up on the disease, right? And so it talks about denial, right, in the first step. It says denial is the part of our disease that tells us we don't have a disease. So, okay, I get it about the drugs. Most of us get it about the drugs, but do I get it about the dick? Do I get it about the food? Denial is a part of my disease that tells me I'm not diseased in this area. That's the denial piece. But I get it about the drugs, right? It goes on to say, hitting bottom, despair, and isolation, man. Being here 17 years, I've hit some bottoms, right? I've hit some bottoms, and I have felt despair, and I have felt isolation, because I would wonder why it would be in my, step working process as I'm clean, right? Because our literature, our predecessors, they know you're going to hit a bottom. They knew that. They knew you were going to feel despair, not you, we. They knew there was going to feel, you were going to feel some isolation, right? And so it says, though it may seem that all is lost when we find ourselves in this state, the truth is that we must pass through this place before we can embark upon our journey of recovery. So I want to say, like, thank God, like, that you've hit a bottom, right? Yeah. Thank God that we hit a bottom to get here, right? Because some of us don't get to hit bottoms. Some of us die. Some of us don't make it to the bottom to be able to come back up and to feel despair and isolation. So we get to feel despair. We get to feel isolated, right? We get to, how can I take the all the good and not expect the bad, right? Like, that's unrealistic. I just got to learn how to take it with grace, right? Like, I still don't always respond to life well, right? But I'll tell you what, life has been here, right? We talk about life showing up. No, life has fucking been here. I'm just showing up. And I'm still learning how to show up for it. Life hasn't gone anywhere. Jeanette's the one that went. So I'm the one that's showing up for it now. And sometimes I still struggle. And that's okay. Because I know that as long as I don't put dope in my body, there's a shot. There's hope. Right? And so I'm going to end with step 11, man, with the hope shot. Page 112. It talks about, as it says, and it works how and why, God's will for us. So if you don't know what God's will is, because I'll tell you what, I tell my sponsees, how do you know when you're in your will, and how do you know when you're in God's will? My will is laborious. Laborious means work. My will makes me work. Anxious, fear, stress, worry, doubt, all kinds of shit, manipulation. That's how I know I'm out of God's will. There's no peace in it. My will makes me work. My will is real abusive to me, y'all. Still. It says, as it says, and it works how and why, God's will for us is, not might, maybe sometimes if you're a good boy or a good girl. It doesn't say that. God's will for us is the ability to live with dignity, to love ourselves and others, to laugh, and to find great joy and beauty in our surroundings. Our most heartfelt longings and dreams for our lives are coming true. These priceless gifts are no longer beyond our reach. They are, in fact, the very essence of God's will for us. That's all I have.